And Autumn sent me this picture of the missions team. I ended up going home for a little bit before I came back. And so we're going to stop and pray for them as they right now are on their way down to Appalachia Wheelwright in Kentucky. So let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do pray that you give the missions team safety as they drive. And Lord, I pray that it would be a time where they really are drawn closer to you and closer together. Lord, I pray for the people that they will serve tomorrow. Lord, I pray that they would be a light, that you would shine your light through them, that they would reflect your glory to them, and that you would do your work as only you can do through them. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Question. What are you waiting for? And I'm not really talking about an Amazon package. I'm talking about the big things in life. What are you waiting for? Some of you might be waiting for test results. You might be waiting to hear back. You might be waiting to find out. What are you waiting for? The thing we say about waiting is often that it is the worst part. It is the worst part. We all have to do it, but we all hate it, and we think of it as the worst part. Some of you might be waiting for him to get his stuff together or for her to figure it out. You might be waiting to hear back from your kids. You might be waiting for your parents. You might be waiting for them. You're waiting. This passage we're going to look at today, they're waiting on God. One thing about God is you can't hurry God. You could tell your spouse, let's go, you know, and maybe motivate them, or maybe they dig their heels in and they slow down when you do that. I don't know how it goes at your house. But you can kind of mush your kids around. Like I remember one dad telling me, I don't think my daughter understands the word hurry. I just don't think she does. Hey, you can't hurry God. You can't. And the question that's going to come up for Abraham today is, can you trust God while you wait for him? And some of you might remember, I had this same question up there a month ago. And you might be like, well, didn't we? Well, are you still waiting? If you're still waiting, you might still be asking that question. And it might have intensified. So we're going to come back to it because that's what the text does. It kind of brings us back again and again is, can you trust God while you wait? Because Abram is still waiting. Before we jump into Genesis chapter 17, let me pray. Lord, I just ask that you stand in front of me while I'm in front of them, that you talk over me while I talk to them, that you show us your glory in this text, and that we decide again that we can trust you while we wait. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we are in Genesis chapter 17 as we get to know the God of Abraham so that we can trust him while we wait. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old. So there aren't always timestamps in the life of Abraham, but every once in a while you do get a timestamp in the life of Abraham, and this is one of those timestamps. The first timestamp we got in the life of Abraham was back in Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. And do you remember how old Abram was in chapter 12, verse 4? He was 75. He was 75 years old in chapter 12, verse 4. And now the text wants us to know that he is 99 years old. So we should be catching here. It doesn't stop and say, it's been 24 years. But they give us the timestamp so that we can figure it out. It has been 24 years since Genesis chapter 12, when God promised Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. And I'm sure Abraham hears that and hears, you're going to have an army of sons. and I'm going to give you land. And I think he thinks tomorrow I'm going to own a whole bunch of real estate. And God says, I'm going to bless all the nations through you, and I'm going to make your name great. And here we are 24 years later, and Abram still doesn't have the son that God has promised. He still doesn't have any land. He still hasn't been a blessing to the nations. It's been 24 years of waiting. And I bet he's asking, can I trust God? After all this, 24 years, can I trust him? Will he do it? Can he do it? When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. If you have an English Standard Version, you have a footnote on I am God Almighty, and it says that in Hebrew that is El Shaddai. That is the Hebrew translation. Like, here's my name, Abram, or one of my names, El Shaddai, God Almighty. So he tells him what he should do. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. The thing is, God hadn't done any, for 10 years, Abram had been waiting for God to do this. And so finally, Abram's wife says, maybe we're supposed to have a child through our servant Hagar. And why don't you go in and to Hagar and we can have a child through them? And that's been the only child that they've had. And here God is promising them a multitude of nations. And they have one child that God said, no, that's not how I'm going to keep my promise to you. 24 years. Can he? Will he? What is he doing? Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram. And there's a footnote there that says Abram means exalted father. But your name shall be Abraham. Abraham means the father of a multitude. For I have, it's past tense, made you the father of a multitude of nations. He has one kid. That's not the promised kid. And God says, this is such a sure thing, I can speak about it in the past tense. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. In chapter 12, there was five I wills. There's two here. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you, promising him kids again. That's the third I will. Throughout their generations, an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will, number four, give to you and your offspring after you the land of your sojournings. How much land does Abraham own? None. He doesn't own any yet. But God says, I will. I think that's the fourth one, right? Is that the fourth one? Is that counting? And all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. You will have kids, and I will be their God, and they will be in the land. And Abram's going, it's been 24 years. Can he? Will he? What is he doing? And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. And it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from another foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and who is bought with your money shall be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. You're going to continue to call her princess, and this time even more princess. Hey, Sarah gets some I wills too. I will bless her, number one. And moreover, I will give you a son by her. The Hebrew is I have. Like, this is such a sure thing. I'm so confident I can do this. I'm going to speak about it in the past tense. I know that it's going to happen, Abraham. I will bless her, number three. And she shall become nations, and kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and prayed. He prayed. He praised God, saying, oh, thank you, this is such good news. He fell on his face and laughed. Consternation, frustration, grief. Is it one of those things where you either laugh or cry? And so you decide to laugh? Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is, he does call her Sarah, God said her name's going to be changed, and so okay, we're going to change her name, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Can't we just use Ishmael? And God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. And you shall call his name Laughter. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will, another I will for Sarah, establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear you at this time next year. This is the first time God has told Abraham when. 24 years, this is the first time that Abraham has a time frame or at this time next year. When he finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael his son and all those born in his house or bought with money, and every male among the men of Abraham's house. You ready for this? And he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day, as God had said to him. Like, can't we just post a notice that this is going to happen a month from now? That very day, as God had said to him. And Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael. Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised. And all the men of his house, those born in the house and those bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. He follows through in utter, terrific, courageous obedience. Okay, here's my question that I want to come back to. Why wait 24 years and then tell him to be circumcised? God makes a promise 24 years ago, and after 24 years says, Abraham, there's one thing I need you to do. I need you to be circumcised. While God hasn't given him what he's promised yet, like to me, as I read this, here's how it feels to me. It'd be like your coach saying, I need you to run a marathon. So you run a marathon. And then your coach says, Now I need you to run wind sprints uphill. It's been 24 years of waiting. Abraham has been straining and trying to hold on to his faith as he waits and waits and waits and waits. And now, after 24 years, God says, now before I come through on my promise to you, which I'm going to do, I need you to get circumcised. Not just you, but Ishmael and everybody else in your house. Why would God wait 24 years? 24 years. And then ask him to do that before he comes through on his promise. We're going to come back to that question. But here's what you can know about God while you wait. Here's what you can know about God while you wait from this text. Number one, that the Lord, because I think after 24 years, Abraham now is asking, can the Lord do it? Can he do it? And I think this is why the Lord shows up and says, I can do it. I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. I can keep my promise. Hey, what have you been waiting for 24 years? How old were you 24 years ago? 24 years ago. Do you start to wonder, can he do it? And this, I think, is why God shows up and says, I am God Almighty. I can do this. And why he tells him, you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him Isaac. It means he laughs. Because I'm going to have the last laugh. You're laughing now out of doubt and consternation and fear. And Sarah will laugh in the next chapter when God makes this announcement to her. She's going to laugh and be like, really? Really? After all this time? And God says, I'm going to have the last laugh when you laugh through tears of joy after I keep my promise to you. I can keep this promise. And you will laugh as I laugh through tears of joy. You know, this is still true. You know, this is still true that he can't. He's still El Shaddai, God Almighty. That because he came in the person of Jesus and died on the cross for our sins and rose again conquering death, and because he shares himself with us in the person of Jesus as a seal that we are part of his family, that we can look forward with hope on the day when all of our tears we wiped away and death is no more, and there's no more crying, nor pain, nor sorrow anymore, and he will have the last laugh as we laugh with joy that is everlasting. He can keep his promises. But after 24 years, maybe you're asking, will he? Will he keep his promises? The Lord says, I will establish my covenant with Isaac. And he says this five times to Abraham and five times to Sarah. I will, I will, I will, I will. You're going to change their names? I will do this. You sometimes wonder, though, will he? You remember how the New Testament starts? Book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1. Remember how that starts? Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Abraham. You remember the next verse? Very beginning of the New Testament. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. God says to him, I have made you the father of nations. And he had. It was such a sure thing. God's like, I can talk about the future in the past tense because I'm in charge, and I'll make sure it happens. That's the God you trust. That's the God who's in charge. He can and he will But what is he doing while we wait? So this is kind of back to the question I started with. What is God doing for those 24 years that God has Abram waiting for him to come through on his promise and give him a son named Laughter? What is God doing? Well, the bottom line is, this passage doesn't tell us, but there's other places in the Bible that do. So the bottom line is, I don't know. I can't tell you exactly what I know God is doing, but I'll tell you what I think he's doing based on other texts. So this is what I was saying, that it's been 24 years of waiting, and what is God doing while he's waiting for 24 years? And here's what I think God is doing while Abram waits, based on Abraham's story and based on the rest of the Bible. Proverbs 17:3 says, "The crucible is for silver." Think heat, think fire, think purification. "The furnace is for gold." Think heat, think fire, think purification. Ready for this? "And the Lord tests hearts." Think heat, think fire, think purification. What is the Lord doing while we wait? Well, he's testing our hearts. Think heat, think fire, think purification. The Lord doesn't grow us and make us stronger and make us more like him by keeping us comfortable, by always giving us what we want when we want it right away. The Lord purifies us. He tests us by putting us through the crucible and the furnace. And the thing is, for Abraham, God didn't spell it out and say, here's exactly when this is going to happen. Until now, he has a year from now this will happen, but he's been waiting for 24 years. You might be going through a season where you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And what is God doing? Well, I think he's testing your heart. And here's the thing for Abraham. He passes this test. The Lord, after 24 years, he tests his heart and says, you got to be circumcised. Ishmael has to be circumcised. All of your males have to be circumcised. And even though that is all the things, Abraham passes the test and does it immediately that very day. Up until now, I think that is the hardest thing in Abraham's life. Question: will that be the hardest thing in Abraham's life? No. There's something much worse and much harder coming. I wonder if God is preparing Abraham for what's coming with this 24 years of testing and trial. It's going to take 24 years of testing and trial, and then something hard, and Abraham responds in obedience in order to prepare him for the much harder obedience that is still to come. It might be true in your life that this season has been long and difficult. If you respond in obedience, you'll be well prepared for the season that is coming that will be more important and harder. The Lord can keep his promises, the Lord will keep his promises, and the Lord tests our hearts. So what should we do? So what we should do is what the Lord tells Abraham to do in the very beginning of this passage. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless." What should we do? We should blamelessly walk before him. Blamelessly walk before him. Now, often when you hear about walking with God or walking before God, it's talking about the everyday things of life. It's talking about just the going to work, going to school, going to daycare, going to the restaurant, being in your house, whatever. It's just the everyday small stuff of life is walk before God. It's your daily, daily life. But in this passage, I think it is the really big, hard thing that you're afraid to do. The really big, hard thing that God is asking you to do that will affect a lot of other people around you. So, I think it's both. I think it's the everyday stuff of life. You walk before God and be blameless while you wait for Him. Because there's a part of us that when we're waiting on God and waiting on God and waiting on God and doubt is creeping in, we're tempted to get a little bit more unfaithful each day. We're tempted to compromise here and compromise there because after all, God isn't doing what we want Him to do, so we're going to do what we want to do. And God says, walk before me and be blameless while you wait. So it means the little everyday things in life, but it also means the really, really big things in life, the really difficult things in life, the painful and vulnerable things in life. When should you walk before God and be blameless? That very day. If God is calling you to do something difficult and hard, do it today. That's how you walk before Him and be blameless. So, where we started is, I started by asking you, again, can you trust God while you wait? And the answer in this passage is, God can. You can trust Him because He can. You can trust Him because He will. He can keep His promises. He will keep His promises. And what is He doing? He's testing, purifying our hearts. So walk before Him and be blameless as you trust Him. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You that You are trustworthy when we don't understand what You're doing. I thank You that You are trustworthy when we aren't. I thank You that You are trustworthy when no one else is. Help us walk before You and be blameless. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.